the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we remember the Holy Apostle James the Just, the brother of God. Now many of us, even among those of us who are perhaps not Orthodox, know that the Theotokos, Mary, is called the Mother of God. In Orthodoxy, we are not shy about giving titles that are theologically fitting to those whom they fit. Mary gave birth to God in the flesh, God the Word, and so this title is perfectly fitting and theologically accurate. The title Theotokos, Mother of God, is a bulwark against heresy. All mainline Christian denominations acknowledge Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, born in the flesh to Mary. And the title Theotokos was especially emphasized in the early centuries of the Church, when the Orthodox Church had to defend the divinity and person of Jesus of Christ against those who would wish to make him into a mere man, or a demigod, or a phantasm, not God become man. Ever Virgin is another title given to Mary the Theotokos. We acknowledge the perpetual virginity of Mary, that she knew no man before, during, or after bearing Christ in the womb. That's why, for example, on Mary there are three stars on her forehead and on both of her shoulders. You can't see one of them because Christ is covering it up, but it's before, during, and after. She is perpetually virgin. And this is an ancient belief. It stems back from the Bible itself. Yes, the Bible acknowledges that Christ had brothers, but in the Greek there is no distinction between brother, stepbrother, or kinfolk in general. And the half-brothers of Christ, according to tradition, were Joseph the betrothed's children from a previous marriage. This makes certain passages in the New Testament actually make sense. For example, Christ on the cross giving his mother Mary, the Theotokos, over to the guardianship of John, the beloved disciple, not one of his brothers, where there would have been no question, if they were his brothers by blood, that they would have taken Mary into their household according to the ancient customs of the time. But she's given over to John, the apostle. It's because they're his stepbrothers. So titles in the church mean something. The fact that I'm even called father, right, by someone in our parish who could be my father, or my mother, my grandparents, means something. The same goes for the holy apostle James, the brother of God. Now this title has two meanings, one that applies only to James, and the other members of Jesus' household, and another that applies even to us as Christians today. The first I have already said. James is the brother of God incarnate through Saint Joseph the betrothed. He is Christ's stepbrother from Joseph's previous marriage, attested to from the 100s AD. In the Orthodox tradition, Joseph is an older widower with adult children, James being one of them when he is betrothed to the younger Mary. Now, the second reason for the title, Brother of God, has more immediate meaning for us, and that is this. God has called all of us, all of mankind, to become not only his friends, as he calls his disciples in John 15, but also his family members. St. James is not only a brother of Jesus Christ through his father Joseph when he became betrothed to Mary, but through a connection stronger than literal family ties, and that is through love. Love, true Christian love that flows from Christ himself, creates bonds and ties that go beyond just familial relations. Thank God for this. It's the glue that holds the world together. Love of Christ is what makes us adopted sons and daughters of God. God wills for us to be his children. Just as he willed to dwell among mankind, so too does Christ wish mankind to dwell with him. St. James the Apostle, then, is one who is called brother of God, not simply due to his familial relation, but also his spiritual relation. His unrelenting love and dedication to Christ, his unrelenting love for his flock in Jerusalem, whom he shepherded for over 30 years. So St. James becomes a part of God's family, not simply through worldly familial ties, but through his love for Christ and his flock, love that was perfected in martyrdom. In his old age, St. James was thrown from the top of the temple and then stoned to death by those who hated Christ. Yet according to tradition, the final breath of St. James was spent praying for those who were stoning him. his faith was perfected in his love. May it be the same way for us. Just before the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the words of the liturgy say something very peculiar. The priest says, "And vouchsafe, O Lord, that with boldness and without fear of condemnation, we may dare to call upon thee, the heavenly God, as Father, and to say." Then we begin saying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. It's no small thing to call upon God as Father, because to do so is to acknowledge oneself as a child of God. I think it would be good for all of us to think about it as we say the Lord's Prayer today, to not simply repeat the words that we've become so accustomed to saying, but to acknowledge that in saying Our Father, we are uniting ourselves to God as his children. This is the perfect prayer that Christ gives to his disciples. Having God first and foremost as our Father and Christ as our kinsman is the primary way we should think about our Christian life. So often we hear talk about the church and Christ especially as being of certain political persuasions, right? I've had this on my mind since the midterms are coming up. I'll just say, get off Facebook. Just get off Facebook if you can. I've heard everything from, you know, Christ would be a socialist or a communist to Christ being a Republican or libertarian or monarchist. And I get it. There's a natural tendency to want to make sense of Christ from where we're at. But we're going about it all the wrong way when we do this. The church and the kingdom are first and foremost a family, a royal family, yes, but not one according to earthly standards. God forbid. You see, we aren't called to have Christ as our worldly figurehead, as our political candidate, as our earthly leader. In the New Testament, more often than not, that position is reserved for the Antichrist. Instead, we are to have Christ first and foremost as our fellow kinsman, the one who makes our Father known. He is the only begotten Son of God. We are to be adopted sons and daughters. We with boldness dare to call upon God as Father. And as Christ is the one who makes the Father known, and with the church as our mother, we are born again as spiritual children of the heavenly kingdom. Always keep this in mind. Even though we have to live in the world, we can keep our spiritual eyes directed towards heaven. This is what frustrated many of the earliest pagan leaders about Christians, that they had as their head one who was above Caesar. And that as Christians, they were not only bold enough to speak freely with this heavenly king as with a friend, something that would get you the death penalty in many ancient societies, but that they would also dare to call their king Father. So as we celebrate St. James, the brother of our God today, may we always have this in mind. No matter what our familial situation looks like, good or bad, spiritual kinship with Christ is first. We are not just servants of a master or a king, but adopted sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And like St. James, may we have, not simply in some earthly relational way, this, but through love that stems from Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.